Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Pod Pals this week, where we will be bringing you Season 3, Episode 11, Burns the Coffin der Kraftwerk. Last week, I told you that I was possibly being made redundant, so you can imagine how happy I was this week when I was watching this episode where Homer gets made redundant. So that was a nice, cheery thing to get my mind off things. But before we go into any of that, let's not forget, of course, we are joined by Dan. Willkommen.
Ah, wunderbar, wunderbar. Ich liebe es, es heißt, I feel like we're just doing the gabble like Dr. Evil does on Austin Powers. Yeah. Mini me loves chocolate. Scotty don't.
Oh wait, well, I love chocolate.
Scotty don't.
Oh wait a minute, let me do what I do. Please, would you stop?
How about a child?
It's causing me serious psychological harm.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. Who am I? I don't know. Who am I? Can we just make this podcast entirely Austin Powers impressions, please?
Yeah. Let's just start from the first one and we'll just work our way through doing it line by line.
I totally agree.
But yes, we are here for Burns the Coffin der Kraftwerk. What were your thoughts on this one going in then, Dan?
Always remember it. Love this episode. I love the Germans. I find them very funny. I love Mr. Burns' attitude to the Germans. I love Chocolate Land. I love Lenny's plastic surgery. I love Homer's selfishness buying a $25 beer.
I've never seen Lenny look so happy, which was nice.
This is the worst day of my life.
But hey, before we get into the plot, should I give you a Simpsons question?
If you want to.
Very, very simple one this week, but I just think because he is one of, I think, both of our favourite characters, what is your favourite Mr. Burns episode?
Oh, man alive. That's hard. Oh, there's so many. I love it when he adopts Bart as a son.
Yes.
I love it when him and Homer are the first ones to their mountain retreat and there's an avalanche.
I don't even know what the lead up is to the. There's a bit where like they're going a bit insane, and Mr. Burns is like, "I've got this plan," and then Homer's like, "What is it?" He's like, "Oh, wouldn't you like to know?"
Sad lose his mind. There's so many Mr. Burns. I think it's one of the newer episodes, maybe series 15, 16, where he's filling an application form and he's like, name Charles Montgomery Burns, age, wouldn't you like to know? And then like, it's the cause of parents' death. They got in my way. Like, it's just, I don't know, Burns is just, if Ned's not my favourite, Burns is certainly there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's 100%, he's mine. I love the bit, I think it might be the same episode you're on about there. It's the one where I think Homer and that stay in his mansion, because Mr. Burns is like going for those tests to like see how ill he is. And there's a bit further on in that where he's like getting told what diseases he's got. And the doctor's basically saying, like, because they're so perfectly balanced, it's actually keeping you relatively healthy. And then he's like, so what you're saying is, I'm indestructible. Oh, God, heavens, no, even a slight breeze could. Indestructible.
He's walking out of the room, not listening to the doctor anymore.
Contemplating, like, his new power.
Funny as out.
My favourite Burns episode, though, funnily enough, is actually one that's coming up in this season. It's the softball one.
Oh, yeah, Homer at the bat.
Absolutely hilarious. Just that, medically, I thought I told you to get rid of those sideburns.
Look, Mr. Burns, I don't know what you think sideburns are.
That's it, you're fired. That's it, you're off the team. For God's sake. Oh, like that, and I'll send you back to the big leagues.
He's brilliant, isn't he? He's class, Mr. Burns. He really is class. Like,
no, but yes, good shout. I say that quite a lot, I've noticed when I do this podcast. No, but yeah, proper Vicky.
Yeah, I noticed actually, for listeners out there, we also do a Sunderland football podcast, and I noticed you said it like, you were just talking about the matches. No, but yeah, but no, I think Plymouth were this and no, and yeah, and but nothing else. And I was like, is he okay? Is he having a mild aneurysm?
Because I've got nothing of like relative value to say, so I just, like, I fill it, basically,
Just make noises.
That's essentially where it is. But come on, I am aching for some fun facts.
Okay, then. Good this week, actually. I had to, like, because I only try to do about five as a maximum because I don't like them to go on too long, but I had to, like, whittle them down this week. So, the original plan was for the plant investors to be Japanese, but the writers felt that that was too cliche, so they changed them to German.
Yeah, they've already done Japan, haven't they? Like, with the sushi restaurant and that.
I suppose.
Japanese characters. So, yeah, it was a nice change.
So, apparently surrounding that as well was, at the time, like 1991, there was lots of Japanese businessmen buying up properties in them, buying up businesses in America. So they're like, well, we like that idea, but making them Japanese is like, I think there must have been a lot of sitcoms doing a similar sort of thing. So they made them German. However, it plays in nicely because Philip Hartman voices Horst and Homer's stockbroker, but Philip Hartman also spoke a little bit of German, so obviously it came naturally to him.
Right. You know what? I'm pleased you've mentioned that it was Phil Hartman who did the voice of Horst, because I was listening to him speak and I was like, who is that? I was like, it's a familiar voice within the show, but I couldn't quite place it. There was little bits and I was like, oh, but I didn't think it would be in mine, so interesting.
Yeah, that's right. It is Philip Hartman. I love it. Homer, it's your stockbroker. I love that. The title of this episode is an inaccurate translation of Burns Sells the Power Plant. So it's like, apparently in German, they have lots of different, like, colloquialisms, if you know what I mean. Like, there's lots of different words for the same meaning. So, like, this is just an English translation, but it doesn't quite work in German. I didn't really go any further on that because I'm not intelligent enough to cope with, like...
a competent podcaster, Dan, might have like, followed that lead a little bit and just done a quick translation on Google Translate, but...
How many times do I have to tell you I am not competent? I'm not even, like... half competent. I knock up the fun facts 10 minutes before I come in here. I'm sitting, I'm sweating, I'm still in my pajamas, I'm covered in dairy milk. I've had the same underpants on for about 4 days. Leave me alone. Speaking of the same underpants for four days, The Land of Chocolate was obviously feature written for this episode, and it also features in the Simpsons game.
Does, yes, first level, as I recall.
Is that right? I'm going to Google it just to refresh my memory, actually.
The Simpsons game was good because it was full of, like, just game and cliches, basically. So there was, like, a level where you played as Bart, but it was, like, a parody of, like, Grand Theft Auto and stuff. And then you had even, like, old school games. There was one where, like, you had to get across this lake as Lisa, but it was, like, in the style of, like, remember Frogger? For the game.
Yeah.
Like, just stuff like that, but it was just really well put together. But yes, I think it came out just before the PS3 came out, so it kind of got lost in, like, that awkward...
Yeah. Is the Simpsons game the one where they had, like, bees with security cameras, or is that, like, Hit and Run or something?
No, that was Hit and Run, and that's another reason why I don't think it gets the praise it deserves, because, like, it's just not Hit and Run.
I'm just looking at the mission where Lisa's got to fight the dolphins and stuff.
Yeah.
Or she plays like really a saxophone.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like, there was bits of it that were actually really funny. And it came out at a time where The Simpsons, like, was kind of starting its decline, but it still managed to, like, that's like Joe Bob in it as well. They had, like, Kelsey Grammer. They even had, because the whole thing was, it was like they were game characters, like, inside a game. So it was like a game within a game. But then it got really meta and, like, turned out that their creator was Matt Groening. So you, like, come out of the game and you go to Matt Groening's house, and, like, Bender and all that's there, or Futurama, and you've got to, like, fight them. And then it got to the very last level. I think you went beyond Matt Groening and you had a dance-off with God.
You've got, like, a very vivid memory of that.
Right, 100%, yeah, 100%. I've got such a ridiculous memory over certain things, you know. Like, when we went to see that Peter Reed thing the other week. That photo there of Kevin Phillips, that was taken on the 10th of November 2003 and beat Spurs 2-0 at home. And you were just like, sorry, what? Like,
yeah, yeah. So I was watching you tell us. I was like, what a strange young man.
it is like vaguely sinister, isn't it, that I've got all that knowledge?
It's quite serial killery. Right, so your last fun fact is you like this. A sign in Chocolate Land reads Fudge Town. This was changed from the original Hershey Highway, as this was a reference to anal sex in America at the time.
Is it? What, Hershey Highway?
The Hershey Highway. Now, against my better judgment, I'm going to Google it. Hershey Highway. Oh, that's a lot of bumholes. So Hershey Highway is like a, well, yeah, I mean, I'll Urban Dictionary it just whilst we're here.
I feel like Fudge Town is more of a...
So Urban Dictionary, the Hershey Highway, the anal cavity, usually used when speaking in a sexual manner about taking it in the ass. Hey, look, it's Adam. He's probably about ready to go down Misty's Hershey Highway again.
Well, the things you learn on this podcast, eh?
Yeah, yeah, Hershey Highway.
People had the gall to say that we weren't very insightful.
Exactly. And actually, I think it must be like listening to two philosophers because this, my friends, is as highbrow as it gets. Forget your Radio 4. Forget Classic FM. This is pure culture. That's the end of your fun facts, by the way.
Thank heavens. Right, so... Plot time. So this episode aired on the 5th of December, 1991. Nearly bloody Christmas, lah. It was directed by Mark Kirkland and written by John Vitti. The episode begins with a very glum Mr. Burns getting his hair washed by Smithers. He laments the fact that life has passed him by. Owning a nuclear power plant has forced him to neglect his childhood dreams of hitting home runs and wiping out nations with the stroke of a pen. He admits after all of these years, it might be time for him to finally sell the power plant. Homer is nearby, of course, and Smithers tells him the news and tells Homer that he doesn't believe Mr. Burns would sell the power plant for anything less than $100 million. As word spreads that Mr. Burns is looking to sell the power plant, Homer gets a call from his stockbroker to say his stock just went up. Here's a weird thing I noticed when watching this episode. So, like, when I used to watch this, I used to always think that the guy who rings Homer isn't a stockbroker and he is just a criminal. And he's, like, obviously frauded him to, like, sell his stock and, like, obviously gain from it. But watched it last night and I was thinking... Is he a stockbroker? And is the joke that he is actually a stockbroker, but because it's Homer's stockbroker, he's like terrible.
So I thought it was.
What did you get from it? Have you always thought he was a stockbroker? Because I always thought he was a criminal.
No, I always just thought that he was like, well, yeah, just a crusty old stockbroker who's not very good at his job but can't retire because he's had five divorces, that sort of thing.
His office, though, I mean, it just looks awful. Like, you can smell it, can't you? You can smell his office.
That is quite literally how I think a stockbroker's office would be. Genuinely, I really, really do. I think it sounds like a miserable job just watching computer screens as lines go up and down, depending on what companies and bosses do. Miserable. Not for me.
I think it just smells like cigarettes and BO in there, to be honest, wouldn't it?
It's not unlike my chair. mind, there's a bit early on in the episode where Bart's watching Itchy and Scratchy. It's so subtle, but I was genuinely creased. So, you know, it's normal Itchy and Scratchy. By normal, I mean Itchy putting a nail through Scratchy's forehead. So, like, obviously, and then he hangs the picture on the nail. But if you look at the picture, right, that's one thing. Looking behind the picture, you can see, like, Scratchy, but his head's just bowed behind it, so you can tell he's dead. And it was such a subtle thing. Like, it wasn't even cartoony. It was just, like, a dead cat nail to a lamppost. Like... I was laughing for ages. It's so subtle. I mean,
I want to watch it. I want to see it.
It's so subtle. Like there's nothing cartoony. It's just like his head's bowed behind the frame, but you can't see it.
It's just a bit of reality. It's just a dead cat.
That's what I was saying. It was so sad. It was so sad.
Class, man. I mean, whoever this guy is, whether he's a criminal or a stockbroker, we'll never know, I guess. He convinces Homer to sell his stock at 25 cents a share, which means it comes to $25. We don't need to know what that comes to in today's money, Dan. Please just fucking spare us one week, will you? Right?
$25.
I'm going to just keep talking over the top of it.
1991 value today, $57 nowadays.
Oh, well. Right.
And $57 into pounds. Into pounds is £45 sterling.
Well, right. So Homer comes away with £45 sterling today's money.
Yes,
I did genuinely love Homer's plans for the money. Like, it was so wholesome. Like, just a little bubble where I like, just get a nice little haircut or like a £25 hammer. I imagine that's what you were like with your £5 lottery winnings the other week.
I suppose so, but I just spent it on more lottery.
I was going to say, yours is just more lottery tickets and scratch cards. News spreads back to the Simpsons home when Marge tells Bart to turn to the Financial Channel, where the top story is that Mr. Burns is expected to sell, and it's caused the stock to skyrocket. Meaning, had Homer not already sold his stock, it'd be worth $5,200. Now, we don't need to know what that is in today's money. I mean, Homer, he should have known where the money was going to go because he's a raging alcoholic. He ends up spending his $25 on a bottle of Fancy Duff. He explains to Moe how he got the money, and it sparks the interest of two German businessmen across the bar. After telling them that Mr. Burns is looking to sell the plant for $100,000, the Germans are looking to buy him out. While Marge dreams of opening a savings account with the $5,200, Homer returns home and tells her he spent it all on beer. Like, I love her initial shot where she's like, "You spent $5,200 on beer?" Like,
yeah.
Just imagine that though. Like, how could you have possibly spent that amount of money on alcohol?
Have you met my father?
I was going to say, yeah, he could go to a weekend in London, to be fair, and you've done that comfortably.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I remember that was probably about 8 years ago when we went to Spurs away, and I got us like three beers and a keg of 15 quid. And nowadays, that's like, well, you know, that's what you pay. But back then, it was like, fucking hell.
Yeah. What's mad about that, though, like, speaking of London, like, one of our mates who lives down in London, I went to Crystal Palace away, funnily enough, a couple of years ago. And I stayed at his, and we got off the train, and he was still at work, and he was like, right, I work like near London Bridge, so just head to that general area, find a bar, tell us where you're at, and I'll come and find you. So I unknowingly walked into the London Bridge Hotel bar, which
was a mistake.
I knew straight away I'd made a mistake, because like the lighting was like proper mood lighting, and like the second I walked in, someone like put me coat off for us. So I was like, oh dear, I'm in above my head.
Yeah.
And he came in, and all he got was a half, and it cost him, I think it was about £9.40. And he was
standard.
Like, Anth, I've lived in London for 2 years. You've been here 6 minutes, and you've found the most fucking pretentious place that you could have possibly found. Homer is distraught to learn of his financial blunder, and things get worse when he goes to work the next day and he finds out that all of his co-workers are rich as well. On the news, we see Mr. Burns is planning to sell it to the German consortium, and I love his denial when he's asked. And he's like, "You'll see the Statue of Liberty wearing lederhosen before you see Germans running my plant. Then, sir, why are you choosing to meet with them? So I can look Uncle Fritz square in the monocle and say, 9.
He's good, isn't he? I like Burns. I like Burns a lot.
Mr. Burns is offered $100 million, and in his words, he grudgingly accepts. But I mean, it's anything but gracious, is it, when he gets that?
It's ugly. It is quite ugly.
It's the happiest I've seen him, to be fair. The takeover causes mass panic amongst the plant employees, as they all face the threat of unemployment if the Germans decide to bring in their own people. Hort, who we now know is Philip Hartman, one of the consortium members, tries to reassure the workers that they are valued and have nothing to worry about. However, after being concerned by the lack of safety around the plant, they call Homer into a meeting to pick his brains around what he brings to his role. This was pretty close to home when I was watching this. Like, I was like, when they ask if Homer has any ideas for the future, he requests that the vending machines are less picky when accepting beat up dollar bills. The Germans sympathize with this, as after all, they are from the land of chocolate. And we do get Homer's famous land of chocolate segment here.
I
was hungry watching this.
It's genuinely that's probably one of the standout, like cutaway gags, if you will, for me in The Simpsons. I think it's particularly when he takes a bite of the dog's back and the lamppost.
That's like a lovely thick. That's like Toblerone chocolate.
Toblerone. I like Toblerone. The ones you get from the airport where they're like doorstops.
It does say a lot about like this segment, because like I feel like people who don't even watch The Simpsons of seeing this segment and they'll recognize it. Like, I just sent like a voice note of the music to someone I know who doesn't watch The Simpsons, and I was like, "What's this?" And they knew straight away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's obviously, I was like, fair play.
Yeah. Again, it's I like when he bites the dog and it runs away. Like it's because like it's in pain. Why is this in like the land of chocolate where everything's beautiful? Why is the dog hurting? I don't get that bit.
Like you would just make it so they couldn't feel pain, couldn't you?
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah, but they haven't done that. Why not? Funny.
I want to see the aftermath of Homer's dream where there's just like an A&E full of like half-eaten chocolate creatures just crying out in pain. Make it stop. I love when it cuts back to Homer actually at the end of that segment, and like you hear him singing to himself and he's going la 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 la, pop it into it, isn't he?
Stop that.
Mr. Simpson. Oh, I'm sorry, we're talking about chocolate? That was 10 minutes ago. Just 10 minutes of la 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 la. Like, imagine being an employer, you'd be thinking, what the fuck is going on here?
But no, I mean, it's not a wonder they let him go. It's not a wonder.
Yeah, he's already got himself to blame after that. But yes, as you've said, spoilers, Homer gets the dreaded news that he is to be laid off. It's rather public as well. Like, it's done over the tannoy, yeah. Which is funny, to be fair. Homer will be laid off. Simpson, Homer, that is all.
It's so like, cruel,
just get him. If it's just him, just get him in the office.
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean? And like he's just bragging to Lenny and Carl that he's dazzled them and that. He's quite pleased. Yeah, hilarious.
Mr. Burns, though, is enjoying his retirement by playing balls, sparring, and beekeeping. There's something really funny about Mr. Burns beekeeping as well. The bit where he's like, that's it, make the honey. Honey for your children. Fools.
Yeah, like everything for Mr. Burns says, like, just an opportunity to be cruel.
It's profit, isn't it? That's all Mr. Burns says.
Yeah, basically. It's just profit. Every time.
I like this next bit at Moore's as well, where Bart has to go and collect Homer. Obviously, we see Bart, he makes another prank phone call to Moore's, where he requests to speak to B or Problem. We just call him Dan. Just as Bart is basking in his own comedy genius, Marge requests that Bart goes to Moore's as she needs it to bring Homer home. I remember watching this as a kid and thinking like, oh no, like Bart's going to get caught here. He's going to get his comeuppance, like, especially when he first walks in and Moore's just like, wait a minute, I know that voice. But luckily for Bart, it turns out that Moore just really likes him and he remembers Bart from when he was a kid. Bart was a kid, I should say. And as Bart is entertaining Moore and the other barflies with a song and a dance, in walks Smithers and Mr. Burns, who are out for a drink.
Barkeep, some cheap domestic beer for me and my buddy here.
I'm not your buddy, you greedy old reptile.
Smithers, who is this saucy fellow?
Homer Simpson, sir. Sector 7 Sector 7G, recently terminated.
That's right, I lost my job so that you could have another $100 million. Let me ask you something. Does your money cheer you up when you're feeling blue?
Yes.
Okay, bad example. So let me ask you this. Does your money ever hug you when you come home at night?
I know.
And does it ever say, I love you?
No, it doesn't.
Nobody loves you. Nobody loves you. You're old and you're ugly. Nobody loves you.
Good heavens, Smithers. They're not afraid of me anymore.
Hey, Mr. Burns, did you get that letter I sent?
Letter? I don't recall
any
letter.
That's because I forgot to stamp it.
Gotcha. Oh, that kid slays me. That was no accident. Let's get out of here.
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na.
Way. Goodbye.
What good is money if you can't inspire terror in your fellow man? Got to get my plant back.
Did you feel sorry for Mr. Burns during this bit, Dan?
A little bit, but kind of no. So I was just, I was siding with Homer when he said, like, oh, I've lost my job, so you can have another $100 million. And it's very much like how it is in life for us, I suppose. We're just the serfs where everything is designed to repress us financially. And, like, there's Rishi Sunak paying, like, a smaller tax rate than what, like, a nurse does every year, obviously comparably way more money, but like still a lower tax rate. Does that not just say it all? And that's kind of the vibe I got from Burns. It's like, yeah, you go on, you just push people further down so you can have yet more money that you don't need. How do you sleep at night?
I did laugh though at the bit where he's like, does your money cheer you up at night? Yes.
It's funny because it would, wouldn't it?
Bring me quite a lot of, a lot of happiness, to be honest. Yes, it does. Anyway, after being humiliated in the bar, Mr. Burns realizes that to get respect again, he must buy back his power plant. Luckily for Mr. Burns, the Germans are desperate to sell at this point, as the plant is in dire need of repairs and it's not cost effective to run it. Mr. Burns exploits this and is able to buy the plant back for half of what he sold it for. I love how when he first goes in and he's ready to beg and then he finds out the desperate to sell is just like, advantage Burns.
Yeah, I like that bit, yeah.
Ready to do business.
Really funny, really funny.
So the Germans reluctantly sell back to Mr. Burns and feeling cheated, they tell Burns to beware, as we Germans are not all smiles and sunshine.
Oh, the Germans. Stop that, Mr. Burns.
To be honest, Mr. Burns' reaction to them there, where it's like, ooh, the Germans. That was very much my reaction when England drew Germany in the 2010 World Cup. It was the game where Frank Lampard had that goal disallowed. I think we got beat 4-1 or 4-2 in the end. We got absolutely battered. So that's all I think of now when I see this. When I see this scene, just me own.
When I think of Germany, I think of astute efficiency, well-made products, clean streets, and hairy armpits.
Don't say the other thing that we all actually do think of when we think
look,
of the Germans.
Look, just because all German history books have pages missing where 1939 and 1945 is concerned, does not mean they don't have clean streets.
Have you ever seen Jojo Rabbit?
No, I've always wanted to watch that, actually.
Oh, I think it's on Netflix. It is really funny, but there's a bit at the start where he goes to, like, Hitler Youth. It's like basically a summer camp, and they proper like make it out and be like this fun, like, camp for kids, but there's like an air of like
sinister, yeah,
just because, like, oh god, it's the Germans. They basically give this speech where they're like, the Third Reich will be, you know, the smartest, most advanced age on earth, and they give this whole thing, and everyone cheers. And then he goes, now let's go and burn some books. And it's like, that's their idea of getting smart.
funny,
like, really funny. It's funny when they say it, though. Trust us, we're,
I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah, it can't be any less funny. Let's be honest. After returning to his office, Mr. Burns instructs Smithers to rehire Homer, even after the incident at the bar. His justification for doing this is to keep your friends close, but your enemies even closer. And he's claiming Homer will slowly regain his confidence. And then when he least expects it, he then proceeds to, like, just stab a knife into a desk, which made me a bit unsure. Like, is he just going to sack Homer again, or is he actually just going to kill him? Who knows?
The Sword of Damocles. Do you know that story?
No, but don't tell us.
All right.
Go on. I'd like to know.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you because I don't know it either.
All right. Okay.
No, it's. I think it's like a Greek. I just remember playing God of War, and there was something like loosely related.
I like how me and you, when we were at sixth form, both did 2 years of classical studies, where we learned about this sort of thing. But our entry point for knowing this is, well, there's a bit on God of War where. I mean, this episode does end on a slightly positive note in the sense that Homer gets his job back. So all is just back to normal, really, isn't it? What the fuck was that?
I don't know. A ghost has just entered me. No, but the ghost who's inside of us has.
But yes, that does bring us to the end of this this very good episode. Anything that you, particular jokes that we might have skimmed over that you found funny?
Again, Chocolate Land, just... Like, that's tip-top. I think it's because I want to go so badly. Like, I can't, because I've got about 7 teeth left, right? Because ever since Bob Mortimer made a joke on Would I Lie to You, and I'll tell you the joke because it really made us laugh, because it's like a parallel to my life. And they asked him, Bob, why do you have so few teeth? And he said, oh, I used to have 17 sugars in me tea. And they were like, 17 sugars? He said, yeah. 18 was just too sweet. like it's stupid and it's futile, but it really got us, because I was like, yeah, that is me to a T. Like, my teeth are dropping away because I will not stop eating sugar.
Well, I can't remember whether I mentioned this the other week on the podcast. I know I told you privately, because you're my next of kin. But
I've also got the rights to attorney.
I went to get had a bit of bother with my teeth, so I knew I had a filling, which I assumed had dropped out. So I thought, I'll go and get that sorted. But he went, well, yeah, your filling has dropped out, but you also need another filling. So I had to get two fillings, and I had to go private, because I'm a Tory. No, because they're not taking on NHS patients at the minute. Shock horror. And so it cost us, for two fillings, cost us £400. So I was like fuming, but at the same time, I was like, right, it's my own fault. Like, it is what it is. I need to get my teeth sorted. So I finally actually went for the appointment on Friday. And like, a big thing with us having this problem with my teeth, it's when I've been like drinking stuff, if it's been like cold, it's been like going inside my film. And obviously it's like a really like harsh, like.
It's a horrible pain, that. So horrible pain.
So I was like proper buzzing. I was like, oh, I can't wait to like drink stuff and just be pain free. And then obviously they tell you, don't like eat or drink for a couple of hours after your filling. So I was like proper parched anyway. And I got home and I was like, oh, get me a drink. So I could open like a can of Coke Zero and that. Took a massive swig. And the pain, Daniel, it's still just there. I'm like, what have I paid for?
I tell you what's coming up next, son. Root canal. That's what that is. No. That's what that is. So where they drill all the tooth out right down to the nerve and then fill it with like a cement, that's what's coming for you.
Fuck's sake, man.
And I only know because they said it to me, like, because I had the same thing. They're like, Dan, you need a root canal. Or we can extract the tooth. And I looked at like the NHS pricing, but it was 5-6 years ago. And I was like, a root canal's 370 or an extraction's 35. I was going to
out. Is that why you've got no teeth now?
I'm sorry, I can't hear the bird detain. That was me without teeth.
Deaf now. I know what I was going to say. that's just deaf Dan, that.
I'm actually signing back to you.
I mean, I don't mind going back if it still needs more work doing on it. I don't even mind paying more money. I just hope that next time the dentist wears gloves.
Well, you're the first person I've ever heard of to have a filling done anally. Strange.
The dentist used his tongue. That is the worst thing that's ever been said on this podcast.
Yeah, it's up there. Like, I went to the dentist and I got rimmed. Aren't I clever? Aren't I clever?
Imagine if you were just skimming through this episode and that was the bit you fast-forwarded to.
I got rimmed.
Nope, just turn it off.
Straight away without even listening to another second.
No, but hey, look, let's not waste any more time on this shit. Very good episode. And what have we got next week, Dan? It's another cracker.
I don't know. I haven't looked. Oh, wait, no, I do know. It's where Marge and Homer first meet, but I forget the name of the episode.
I Married Marge.
That makes sense. Makes sense.
This is my favourite of the Marge and Homer, other than Bart's first word, or Lisa's first word, with the clown bed and stuff. This is my favourite Marge and Homer flashback episode.
It is really good. The sex in the windmill was hilarious, like.
Yeah, and also, I know you're not into Star Wars, but if you are going to watch this one, just make sure you watch Empire Strikes Back beforehand, because there's a very, very big spoiler in it.
Oh, I literally know the bit you're on about, because thanks for the endings, and like the mocking Homer as he comes out, because he gags, doesn't he? Oh, dear, right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another episode of Pod Pals. Do join us again next week when we will be reviewing the aforementioned episode, I Married Marge. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc. We are on Buy Me a Coffee / Pod Pals Podcasts. If you would like to throw the show a few quid for Anth to have more anally treated fillings, he very much needs the help. And thank you again. So we'll see you all next week. Hurrah.
Hang on, Dan, I've got to go. My dentist is ringing us.
Oh, dear. Does he want you in immediately, does he?
He's just texted saying, you up, kiss.
And what are you going to text back? Funnel your arsehole.
I've got to be against Phil.
I've got a cavity for you. A big brown cavity.